Lord Vader, Operation Andor is underway.
Excellent. If we release 3 episodes per week, the Lorehounds will never be able to cover every episode. The Imperial forces will crush the rebellion before it begins.
Stand by. We're picking up something on our scanners.
Echo Squadron, reporting in.
Delta Squadron, on your left.
Django Squadron, on your 6.
With Imperial forces coming in fast, we're calling all Rebels to join the fight this season. Starting after the April 22nd premiere, you'll hear 3 full breakdowns for each week's episodes of Andor Season 2. Each podcast will be led by one of our squadron leaders, Alicia, David, and John. We'll be bringing in new and familiar voices to fill out the roster. Search for the Lorehounds on any podcast platform to join us in a galaxy far, far away. And don't forget to check out our season pass for even more content like our Holocron bonus pods. It's good news for anyone, except Darth Vader.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to the Barry Podcast, where the Lorehounds, your guides to clean living. I'm John.
And I'm David, and this is our coverage of the HBO original series, Barry.
In this podcast, we'll be giving an overview of Season 4, Episode 5, Tricky Legacies. Be sure to stick around to the end of the podcast for programming notes about our podcasting schedule for the rest of May.
Quick housekeeping, for early access to ad-free episodes and exclusive content, visit patreon.com/thelorehounds. We're on our way to our 1-year anniversary, and we want to hit 100 subscribers by the end of July. Stick around to the end of the podcast for some updates about our Patreon subscriber benefits. Also, if you're enjoying our content and want to give us a leg up, leave us a review and or a rating on Apple Podcasts. Unlike Barry, we do want to be found, and your ratings and reviews will help us do that. We just don't want to live in an empty desert of landscape.
Yes.
We live in a populated, friendly, fun place.
Right. A quick reminder that for this season of Barry, we are doing a short form recap. But if you've got comments on anything we didn't discuss, send us feedback for the next episode.
Send emails to lorehounds@thelorehounds or head over to our website. And there you can either use the voicemail feature, super easy to use. Just click the button and you can start to record. And we can drop that right into the podcast or use the contact form. And then that'll send us an email and then we can put those into the episode or hop over on our Discord and post a message there. We've got a Barry channel all set up and a fun community of folks chatting about all the shows we are covering.
So many options.
So many options. Maybe too many options.
Very exciting. Mm. David, what's going on with this episode? What were your overall thoughts?
Wow. What a gear shift. What a change. Mm-hmm. I think it's a smart decision on the part of the showrunners to slow us down for a second, take the foot off the accelerator, let us catch our breaths for a moment. And then I think these next 3 episodes are going to be pretty crazy.
And
it was a good setup, right? It brought us to a different place. It changed the tone on everything. There's no way that I would have ever dreamt that this season is going where it's gone. This is a bizarre episode in that regards. We would have just tried to pick up from the prison and from NoHo Hank, and all of that kind of stuff. Instead, we jump 8 years into of the farm country. You know, it was really bizarre. That said, it was a beautiful episode, and I kept taking screenshots, and I posted about 3 of them in our Discord channel because some of the shot framing was just gorgeous. It was this American modern gothic vibe to it. Yeah.
Somebody on Reddit was saying they're taking some horror shots.
Yes. Okay.
And they're applying them to this. It's sort of like the horrors of monotony.
Yes. Totally. You could see that. I mean, the scene of Sally and their son, John, curled up in the bathtub with that blue light. I mean, that
was a serial gorgeous. Killer guards them.
Yeah. And then we cut to him standing in front of the house with his sidearm, and they have that shot perfectly composed. And it's so Americana right now, you know, man defending his castle kind of thing. So it's chilling on a couple of levels. Visually, it's stunning. And the whole episode was a huge tonal shift. And I'm kind of excited to talk about a few of the things, because they're doing this whole play within a play that Sally's involved in. I think it's great. So anyway, what did you think of the episode?
You know, when I was watching it, I was just uncomfortable the whole time. And I realized afterwards, I'm like, okay, that's what was supposed to happen. This was supposed to be as uncomfortable for me as it is for Sally.
Kind of skin crawly.
And as it is for John, the other John. It's almost like a horror movie in that you have two people forced to live with a serial killer. Right. And I know you and I both listened to Bill Hader's interview with the Prestige TV podcast.
Yeah, I'm glad we did, because it brought some extra insights on what is a kind of a hard episode to parse, to take apart. Yeah.
It wasn't entertaining, right? It was not an entertaining episode.
Yeah.
This is not something that you, like, if this were the whole show, you'd be like, well, that just sucks. But as a setup episode, and as a sort of touch point before, between different crazy time periods in their lives, I like it.
Yeah. Agreed.
It might have worked better as half an episode. I'll say that. It might have worked better as half an episode before we got back to the action.
Interesting.
But at the same time, I think the effect that they wanted was, we want you to feel as tired of this life
as
everybody else in this scene. You know,
except for Barry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Barry's living his best life. What he thinks is his best life.
Right. Well, it might be his best life at this point. You know, what else is he going to do?
That's true. That's
he could move to Chechnya if he mixes things up with NoHo Hank.
Yeah. I mean, his skills are probably in demand somewhere in the world at some point, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, Fuchs was on the farm in Chechnya, remember?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe he could move to the farm, but not anymore. I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's time we get into it, David. There's a lot to talk about. It was pretty difficult to outline this episode, I'll be honest, because this is really, you know, one family portrait. And I had to divide it into three pieces. And you don't really get the whole picture without seeing the other pieces. But I think that it helps to sort of focus on the three family members.
I think it's a good way to break this episode down. Otherwise, then we're doing a scene by scene, you know, it's kind of difficult. So, yeah, I think it's a good entry point. Yeah.
So let's start with Barry. Here's my synopsis of his plot. 8 years in the future, Barry and Sally have evaded law enforcement and had a son. They live in the middle of nowhere. Barry homeschools their son, John, and Sally works as a waitress at a local diner. Barry, under the pseudonym Clark, attempts to reconcile his past through the lives of history's great men and their flaws. When there is a knock at the door, he goes back into killer mode. At the end of the episode, he decides to kill Gene to stop his biopic's production.
Yeah, very interesting. So, 8-year jump. I guess Mrs. Lorehound, who predicted that this was a dream last episode,
no
internet points for her this round.
Good.
But good call though. I mean, it was certainly to have only beer and wine in the refrigerator and the half-eaten donut. That did feel very dreamlike, and the whole dust-blown atmosphere. Yeah, very very dreamlike. So
I think, and she was right that Barry doesn't know how to raise a family. It's just unfortunate that it's real.
it's real. And the whole thing of Barry trying to use YouTube as this virtual school, we've done that, those of us who have children. It was not a fun experience. And this, what's the deal with Abraham Lincoln and trying to sort of maybe tear him down at the side? You know, great men or great leaders have also flaws and are faults. So that they're also human? I mean, is that what he's trying to say about himself in some way? Make himself feel
better? Yes, that's exactly what he's trying to say about himself. And I'll make my case here. Yeah. I did take some of this from Reddit, because I saw some good discourse on Reddit. So I'm not going to say this is completely original, but
fair enough.
This idea of he's named himself Clark, right?
Right.
He has glasses on now. He's Clark Kent. He thinks he's Superman in his other life.
Okay. Right. A farm boy. Yeah. Right. Out right. there. And yeah. Middle right. Heartland America.
Exactly. Exactly. He's going to move to Metropolis one day and everything will be good. And, you know, I think that even Bill Hader sort of suggests this in the podcast is he's trying to say, look at all these great men who people worship, who people, right. you know, put into their daily lives because they did such great things. Look at all the terrible things they did, and they're still great men.
Right.
So I did terrible things, but I could still be a great man. And so when he's talking to his son and telling him how he was a medic, bullshit, Barry.
Right.
And, you know, he saved his best friend and everything was great. It's him trying to portray the Penny version of Lincoln, whereas right. inside he knows that he has the, you know, the problematic parts of Lincoln
right,
inside
right.
him.
And this, this rehabilitate, he's like trying to rehabilitate him in some way.
Himself. I think actually, somebody said on Reddit, and I agree with this, is he's almost maybe even subconsciously preparing his son to find out about how terrible his dad is as an adult, but accept that he can still be his dad and he can still love him.
Right, right. And so pre-building in the, I may have been a great man, but I am also a flawed man. And so right. see all these other great flawed men out there.
Recognize that there could be multi-layered people,
yes,
right?
Right. I do have to say as a parent, this episode was really breaking my heart, and I felt a lot for John in this strange, isolated existence that he has, and these two, Sally clearly not interested in being a parent. I've right. been that, you know, I've been there at that 2 a.m., 3 a.m. wake up where you're like, hey, spouse, go deal with your child.
Yeah, but once it's you... Once it's you, you got to be the parent, right?
Right. One and of you's got to make her. Yeah.
Once exactly. it was her, she's like turning away, and
she got called.
He was happy to even get that.
Right. Yeah. And you know, just the terror that you know the kid, because kids will do that, right? They'll perseverate. Is that the right word? They'll fixate on something, and they'll be running it around in their mm-hmm. minds. And you know, when they come at 2-3 in the morning with that fear. You gotta be there for them with that and sort of guide them out of the forest. They have to figure out how to fix it in their own brain, but they need that loving reassurance to help, you know, see their way out of it. And for Sally just to eschew that, whoa, boy, that really, really hurt me as a parent. I really felt for John in that moment.
But even Barry is so superficial. I mean, somebody, again, I loved the Reddit comments last night. They were really good to ground me to an episode that didn't really capture me right away.
Okay.
And somebody was saying, you know, it's almost like he's directing a movie of his life. When he goes to say, tell him about the military, he goes, oh, were you in the military? He goes, you know what? Let's do this on the swings. Like he's like, where can I shoot this scene where it'll be the most impactful?
Right.
What's the most Hollywood way to do this?
Right.
It's very artificial. Everything, something my wife said, Mrs. Lorehound said, you know, we'll bring her back into the mix is, everything he said to his son was a story. Well, John, this is the story of this. Did I ever tell you about this biblical story? Did I ever tell you about blah, blah, blah. It's not genuine. He doesn't just answer a question. Everything has a narrative. Everything is about the spin rather than the truth.
One of the notes that I had for myself was that what I noticed was how out of touch he was with his son. He's trying so hard to fit this model that he has in his head of what the good parent should be, that his trying is actually disconnecting him from being with his son.
He's
actually being present. Yeah. And being present with his, you know, with this other human being that he's so desperately trying to, but he doesn't even know that his son is a caricature to him,
right?
In some ways,
his son's a toy. His son
that's another
an accessory in his life. Not he's not his own person. He wants to play baseball. Parent. No kid, you're going to watch Little League deaths on YouTube.
Lord, that was so. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Just so much about this episode was so bleak and really cut.
Who does that? I mean, I guess Barry, I guess on the scale of things that Barry has done, it's one of the less bad things. So,
Well, yeah, I guess the YouTube content moderation algorithms weren't working that day.
Yeah, right. So. I feel like that's not even allowed on YouTube. Maybe it is. Maybe YouTube's darker than we think.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, like, my Lincoln book, and then grabbing it out of his hand and sticking it off to the side. And, you know, God didn't provide you a comforter. So, you know, be happy.
Right.
Like, what, it's just really,
it's awful. You know, he's got to get the Lincoln book, can't afford a blanket for his kid.
Right. And what are they just I guess they're just shopping for all their supplies online. So they're not going to any stores or anything like that. So,
well, Barry's certainly not going out. I think that's the whole point is
right.
The only people he sees are the neighbors.
Right.
That's why he's not working. That's why he's the homeschooler. Sally.
Right.
Because if Sally gets caught, they probably don't even have anything on Sally. Right.
No,
she could probably just say, if Sally got picked up, she could probably say, oh, my God, thank you so much for saving me. I've been trapped with a serial killer for 8 years.
Which maybe is a good segue for us to talk about Sally now.
I think so. I think
okay.
So Sally, now going by Emily, works at a local diner. She is checked out and numbing herself with alcohol. After being sexually harassed by a coworker, she lures him to the bathroom and chokes him to scare him away. She then frames him for stealing money from the register on the way out. Do you? I put that in that last line. Is that what you understood to happen to?
On the way out, meaning?
Like as he's leaving, because apparently he disappeared. I think because he was scared of her. Did you understand him being framed for Sally stealing money?
No,
that's what I understood, but I could be wrong.
I saw Sally pocket the money out of the till when she was checking out.
Well, she said cash out, and I've worked in restaurants, and not as a server, but I've seen the servers do that. It's not like you are supposed to take money a lot of the time. Like that is
exactly
a thing.
Yep,
I'm cashing out. It's you taking your credit card tips or something like that.
Exactly, and so it was a very natural moment movement in the moment.
Right.
But then when I think connecting it, she was dipping into the till there.
I think so.
And then
so.
She used that. She had to figure out how to deal with him. What was his name again? I'm blanking it. Bell something or
Bevan.
Something. Bevan.
I think
that's
Bevan.
It. Yeah, Bevan. Yeah, that was right. The quickly going back to the Bevan scene, and we've got more to talk about Sally at large, but since we're talking about Bevan, when she's choking him, there was so much going on there. And one of the things that occurred to me was that all this rage and fear that she's been feeling and all of this, just all this emotion that she has is now pouring out. He's the focus of her wrath, of her, of her losing her life, losing her agency, having to live and work in this really weird thing. And so, It works on multiple levels, what she's doing to him, but she is in no doubt some of that strength of that grip strength that she's applying to him is coming from all of the rage of watching the other show that should have been her show,
right?
You know, and all of this, all these lost opportunities and everything pouring out into choking the living shit out of this guy.
Yeah. Bevel, by the way, I just looked
Bevel,
it up. It
thanks.
Was Bevel.
Okay.
So apologies. Before people start writing in,
yes,
it was Bevel.
You still write in, please.
Write in. Feedback. We don't have any feedback this episode, so please do write in. You can correct us for something we got right. I don't care. Yes, I agree with you. I think that was the focus of her life. That was her taking some agency back. She's lost everything, really. And, you know, the one thing you can say against her is she chose to be with Barry, right? She chose to run off with him.
Mm-hmm.
And but other than that, like, she is miserable. She feels trapped. I think she doesn't see a way out at this point.
I don't think she wants to be a parent.
Right.
You know,
right.
This isn't, she's doing it. She did it for Barry, to keep Barry. I think she still feels safe with Barry. You know, when the, when the knock of the door happens, she
when
guides
Walter
him to where
the door.
Right. She guides him to which painting the gun is. I love the fact that they, nothing fancy. They just punched out the drywall.
I know that was so funny because I was waiting to see the cutout
or maybe
a safe. That would be better.
Yeah.
But you know, I was waiting to at least see a cutout and boom.
Hit it with a hammer a few times to knock all of it. But she guides him to where the gun is. And then he, you know, tells her what to do and she does it without question. So she still feels safe with him.
Yes.
And so she, you know, she bore his child to keep him in her, you know, in their each other's orbit. Although she's eschewing being an active parent. John's upbringing is really Barry's project, not hers.
Right. Right. What And there were some good lines between them. Like, what did you two learn today? You mean, what did I teach him? It's like, it's very, Barry's so weird and defensive at times. It's very strange. I mean, Barry was frightening all episode and has been frightening for a couple seasons now, but it's he was a different kind of frightening in this. Like, oh yeah. My God, thank God my dad wasn't like that. Right.
Right. So the interesting thing with Sally is that she's acting now. She's in the most... Yes. Immersive role that she's ever inhabited in her acting career. Every day.
She's got the accent.
Oh, my Lord. She's got
the makeup, the hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going in as Emily every day. And then even when she's luring Belvin in and the way that she plays it, just brilliant acting from that level.
Every single time we say it.
What's that? His name? Yes, I know.
His name's going to keep changing. You said Belvin this time, like Melvin.
Yes.
Exactly. But yeah, no, I like, first of all, I like what Bill Hader said in that interview of how the Bevel scene evolved from him. You know, originally he was going to write a sex scene. You know, she's having an affair because she's just trying to, I guess, maybe
feel something.
She's trying to feel something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, that's not what this character would do. The character sort of led him to this. And I like that a lot because, you know, as much as Sally's been a victim of abuse, Sally has also abused herself.
Right.
And Sally does have that anger in her and does have that violence in her.
Which I loved seeing coming out when she was choking him. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought he almost was going to die. I thought we were going to watch her, you know, taking out predators one by one.
Right. Right. Yeah. I wonder. I was really on edge at how far she was going to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
She took it pretty far, though. Farther than I thought she would.
Far enough that he scared the crap out of him, so.
Right. Right. All right, let's move on to John. After learning how to play baseball from a neighbor, John is subjected to watching Little League death videos from his father. John is old enough to start noticing things his parents say that don't add up. He notices Barry and Sally calling each other by their real names and recognizes that his mom is wearing a wig is strange. This is, I didn't even realize he noticed Barry calling Sally Sally until somebody pointed this out online, which is, it's when they're arguing earlier.
Okay.
And he's listening in.
Oh, at night, like he can
Barry's
hear them.
Like, Sally, you got to get it together, or something like that. It's
right. Stop drinking at work.
Yeah.
I didn't drink at work.
Yeah.
She didn't.
Well, she wasn't.
She waited until after she left work to drink. So,
see, I kept thinking that they were going to do action this episode. So I'm like, okay, so now she's going to get a DUI. She's going to get pulled over for swerving on the road, and then they're going to get caught. And but nope. They were just going to. They just left us sitting until somebody said Gandalf the Gene comes in later,
right?
To save the day for the action.
In some ways, it has great elements of horror where you're jumping at shadows. It's a very Hitchcockian thing where you're so amped up that any little thing, you're going to, and you're going to, and there's nothing there.
Even the ding-dong ditch sort of freaks you out, right?
Exactly.
Is that No-Ho Hank sending somebody to get
right.
him?
Right. And it's just, you know, some kids laughing, running away, whatever, probably, you know.
Got a lot of enemies, Barry.
Yeah, and so it was really a great episode in that regard of ramping up the tension and prepping us for going into the slide of these next three episodes. And Lord knows what's going to happen with John and Sally and this little proto family. You know, I mean, how is John is so ill prepared for the world? I mean, he doesn't even know what that
Call
video
of Duty.
Game was. Call of Duty, right? How can
you?
No,
you apparently don't know what it is either. So
I almost said Fortnite.
Oh, man. I was playing Fortnite with a patron of ours the other day.
Okay.
With Dork of the Ninjas. We were having a lot of fun, and we were playing as Star Wars characters. We actually had a fun time where we did a fusion dance of Darth Vader and Anakin. So, we were having a fun time. So
hang out with the Lorehounds and play
exactly.
silly
Get
games
on our
with
Discord.
John.
You might end up on Fortnite with me.
That's right. That's a good Patreon benefit.
Yeah.
So John, I just feel horrible for this kid because he's being sheltered by this weird 8 years of not interacting with other, you know, kids and he's trying to engineer his child and to put in all the correct, like he's a machine and some software. And he's like, if he just writes the right code and puts in the right gears and cogs that his son will turn out into some sort of perfect, you know, Pinocchio-like well, not Pinocchio, but you know what I mean? Like a constructed being that is a mirror of your, of the maker, which is not at all who we are. The, so many of our personality traits are just this vast soup of genetic mixing from all of our different parents that have nothing to do with our parents.
Right.
Right. That have nothing individually to do. We emerge in a way that is, we're not engineered by our moms and dads, where we grow within their sphere, but we grow from what we already have, not what they're installing at us on us at particular ages. Sorry, go ahead.
And I think
I got a rant there.
They've done that. No, I like the rant. I think that they've done studies that show that, you know, your peers actually have more influence on how you have a personality than your parents, you know? And I mean, think about all the quotes you get, you know, the catchphrases you get, the inside jokes and things like that. They all come from your friends. They don't usually come from your parents.
Well, I see all these traits coming in with our child coming from school of ways that I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? That is not either my spouse or I. That is totally from, you know, behaviors being picked up. Because you, when you're a kid, you're trying different things out. You're exploring things, especially in your teenage years.
Yeah.
Trying to find some identity, and you're rotating your identities all the time. And yeah. So yeah, the fallacy of a parent being this, what was the Pinocchio's dad's name?
Geppetto.
Yeah, Geppetto, some sort of Geppetto figure of building your child to be exactly what you want them to be. And that's what I feel Barry's trying to do with this poor kid. I just feel terrible for him.
Well, and everything is based in words, right? It's all about stories. It's not about reality. It's not an experience. He doesn't let him play baseball and decide if he likes it or not. He tells him, baseball is terrible. Watch this video.
Right.
He doesn't bring him to a Lincoln Museum or something like that.
Right.
He just tells him Abraham Lincoln was great, or maybe not, but maybe he is, but maybe not. It's all stories, right? It's all about narratives. It's all about the stage for Barry. Right. It's all about the performance.
Interesting. It is. Well, in a lot of times in that regard, and I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but you know, this idea of disassociation of like, he's not associated, he's not present in reality. He's living in some sort of, he's living in reality, but behind some scrim of a fantasy that he's constructed of how things should be, according to this weird, twisted, internal monologue, nostalgia stew that he's got in there. So,
yeah. Well, what a bleak episode. Let's laugh about one thing.
Yes.
The cupcake show. How'd you feel about that? Because that made me laugh when she goes, she's like, well, we almost fired you in season two. When Natalie's like, we almost fired you in season two. She just bad about her her coworker.
Sorry, I was blanking on that scene. But yeah, when she's watching the show about, that's totally, what I was keyed into with all of that was Sally's rage and horror and nauseous feeling of like, oh my Lord, this is horrible. And this should have been my life. And I can't believe what I'm watching. And the president is, you know, quoting our show. And that was, that really burned. That whole sequence really burned. But it was pretty funny when she's like, oh yeah, we almost fired you.
And she sees the money on the billboard too, right? Mm-hmm. So she walked past a billboard of her former acting student having success with this. She's in the fourth movie of this stupid superhero franchise.
Oh, no, I think that was at the end when the assistant was walking.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, it's around is my point. I'm sure she's aware that her former acting student is having success, and she could have definitely milked the money out of that.
And that was, $70,000 a movie and more, right? You know, she could have been a lot more going on from that.
It's been 8 years, so that's an average of $35,000 a year if it's just the superhero movies.
Just for one movie.
More stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I love that. I think the thing that really caught me the most was the half-frozen pot pie.
That was so bad. It's good, right, John? Yeah.
And she's got nothing. She's not eating. Because she's doing is drinking.
Well, she eats potatoes for day in, day out. Liquid potato diet.
Exactly. All right. Good. Well, another good episode. I'm really looking forward to these next three. It's going to be a wild ride. And to see Cousineau show up. And I really like that they bookended the episode. They didn't really bookend it, but you know, they left us with him.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be interesting to hear what happened. Like, is his son dead? I saw him previously on... That was definitely a shoulder wound. Like you could see the blood.
Well, the one definitely was.
One definitely was. Yeah, we don't know where the second one hit. So,
No
idea if he's alive or dead. And the whole scene with the security guard and the administrative assistant you know, well, he just looks old. I can't tell if it's really Cousineau or not. I mean, really, really great setup. So an eight-year mystery of where Gene is. And he seems sharp. He seems he's got a mission and he knows what he wants to do about it. So I'm looking forward to next episode to finding out what that backstory was.
Yeah, Bill Hader said in the podcast they're gonna illuminate where he was in the next episode. So I'm excited for that.
Okay, cool.
All right, David, I think it's time for our outro. Would you like to discuss our patrons?
Yeah. So as I said before at the top of the episode, we have a Patreon. Patreon is the best way to support us. Ad revenue is fickle. And John and I are working very hard at keeping the content machinery churning. And there's costs in that and time and everything like that. So if you want to throw us some bucks, we would love to have you as a Patreon supporter. To that end, we have three tiers, and our top tier gets a shout out. Those are our lore masters. And those fine folks are Samartian, Cyrus, Mark H., Michael G., Michelle E., David W., Brian P., Nick W., SC, Peter OH, Bettina W., Adam S., Nancy M., Lavinia T., Duve 71, Brian 8063, Frederick H., Sarah L., Gareth C., Eric F., Matthew M., Sarah M., and DJ Miwa. Thank you all so very much for your support and your ongoing support. We really appreciate it. A couple of notes about our one-year anniversary. That's going to be in July. July 11th is actually our one-year birthday. Everyone who subscribed by the end of July is going to get a special thank you gift from us. We're producing a sticker, a Lorehound sticker. I can release it now because I talked to our producer, the folks who are going to do our merch. It's going to be our little lion figure and our little rabbit figure, which are going to be independently removable from the sticker, as well as our Lorehounds logo from our original podcast, The Second Age. And then we're going to have some sort of elven scripted special thing about our birthday or anniversary. We're still working that detail out, but that way it's going to make it commemorative. So the only way you can get one of these stickers ever is to have been a subscriber towards the end of July or by the end of July. And then we're going to send that to you guys in the mail. We're probably going to do a bunch more live watch activities. We just did a live watch of Conan, which we're covering on Second Breakfast. We did a live watch of our star of the 77 Star Wars movie, which was a lot of fun. That was just sort of a May the Fourth be with you kind of activity, but we're probably going to do more of those. So we've got more Patreon benefits on the way. So, you know, if you want to give us a leg up and get some cool exclusives, check us out. John, May programming schedule notes.
Yeah, it's a short podcast, so I'll keep the programming notes short. But, you know, you're here on Barry, you know that's going on. We also have weekly the White House Plumber podcast and the Ted Lasso podcast. Both of those are fun times. They're very different shows. We had some Nixon tape inclusion in the White House Plumber podcast last week.
Yeah, and one of our listeners is actually a presidential records historian and is sending us actual material. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that's been cool. That's been cool. And, of course, we are having fun with that, and we are having fun with Ted Lasso, and it's probable last season. So join us for that. And for this weekend, we should have a podcast coming out reviewing Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Yeah, I just saw it last night.
Nice. Yeah, I got to go tomorrow night. And if you are enjoying the MCU, if you're enjoying that movie, definitely check it out. I'll be on that one, which I'm not usually on the Marvel podcast, so join us on there. And again, stay subscribed. Check us out on Patreon. Check us out on Public, wherever you listen. Thanks for being with us.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.